Welcome everyone as we prepare for Shabbos Parsha Shmini and begin our 40 days of preparation for Kabbalah Satayra. This is Parsha. It has three major aspects to it: the Aveira, the Chet of Nadav and Avihu, the act of Aaron in burning the Bistar HaChatos, and the mitzvah at the end of the parasha. And I'd like to say one thought regarding each of these three. First, the Chet of Nadav and Avihu. The pasuk says, regarding the Chet of Nadav and Avihu, the pasuk clearly says that the avera was that they brought some fire that was not commanded. However, Rashi brings from the Divrei Chazal over Rav Shimish that the avera was that they went into the Beis Hamikdash drunk. A far different avera than that which is mentioned in the pasuk. And many mafarshim deal with this problem. Really, two problems. A, the fact that Rav Shimon's explanation doesn't seem to fit with the pasuk, and two, the fact that Nadav and Avihu was so great that Rashi says Moshe Rabbeinu held Nadav and Avihu were even greater than Moshe and Aaron. How would it come that they would sin in such a grubbish sin, such a sin as such as going drunk into the base? I mean, there's something nobody would do. But this needs explanation, and there's no question that explanations abound. I'd like to share with you Rav Zevin's explanation in his Sefer LaTorah Ulamayadim on this parasha. Because Rav Zevin explains a Mishnah, the eighth parak of Brachas, in a beautiful way, and in that way shed light on the parasha. The eighth parak of Brachas, we learn a machlekes Bishamay and Befilo regarding Kiddush. Bishamay Imrim Mavarach al Hayayim, Ta'achakach Mavarach al Hayayim. Bishami says first you make the bracha mikadesh haShabbos, and then the bracha by pri hagafen. They still disagree. They still says mevarech al hayayin v'achach mevarech al hayayin. First you make the bracha pri hagafen, and then the bracha of mikadesh haShabbos. Naturally, we do as they still hold. However, it needs some sort of explanation as to the machlokes. So Seven explains. And this actually fits into the language of the Gemara on the Machlokes. But Zevin explains as follows. They shall hold that the way a person should come to an appreciation of Shabbos is by appreciating the Kedusha of Shabbos. Once he appreciates the Kedusha of Shabbos, then he makes a Baruch Piyagaf, and then he should drink and steal the Simchas Hayayim. But the prerequisite is to appreciate Kedushas Hayayim. It's not proper, say Beis Shammai, to start with the drinking and eating, from there to go on to Kedusha. Bishol says no. Bishol says human beings are not expected to jump right into Kedusha. And on the contrary, the yid takes the yayin, makes a bracha on the yayin of the day, the physical appreciation of the einig of the day. Those aspects of Shabbos are what helps the person appreciate Kedusha's yayin. And Bishol holds there's nothing wrong. They start with the yayin, and that gives you the inspiration, that gives you the thought, that gives you the hergish. And therefore, Mevarech al Hayayin, V'achakach Mevarech al Hayayin, this is symbolized by the order of the bracha. This is an explanation of the Machlokes Bishamay and Bishol. Nadav and Avihu, great though they were, did not see themselves as so great in their humility. They felt that they should behave like the Shita of Bishol. They felt that they should do like Bishol says. They should seek some inspiration. They drank wine, not for shikros, not to get drunk. They drank wine in order to be able to feel the spirituality of the day better. And they drank in that manner. However, they were wrong. Even though it's true, as the Gemara says, the Sanhedrin Lama says, Agbiru chamra adar dekikiecha dilemma nolsa, that sometimes when a person drinks, it helps open up his mind towards and a proper appreciation of spirituality. Nevertheless, Nadav and Avihu should have realized that that's not something that's done in the Mishkan. The Mishkan is a place of an Avodah Me'ulah, Avodah on a higher level, on a Gan Eden level. And there, the Avodah has to be on a much higher level. So the Pasuk says they brought Eish Zara, Hashem Leitziva Eishnam. The Eish Zara was this Bavos, this of HaKadosh Baruch Hu with a brand that came from something physical. Actually, Tziva Isam, that's inappropriate. Today we have Hasidim saying that there were Hasidim who followed the Rebbe's Atashlach, and the Averis, the Rebbe's threw away, the Hasidim would pick up. Well, this Aver would be such an example. Another Rebbe looked to use the physical world to motivate themselves to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu better. The Demo was an Aveira, the Mishkan is an Aveira for anybody. However, for us, not in the Mishkan, not even here in Israel or Chutzlaret, to use the physical world to help become motivated in our Avodas Hashem, that's our Mishkan, that's the way we do things. Mevarech al Hayayin, Zachrekach, Mevarech al Hayayin. Let's move on. After the death of Nadav and Aviyu, Moshe Rabbeinu commands Aaron and his children, Alas of Yisthamar, to continue with the Avodah of the day. He has the Seir HaChatas, the meat of one of the Karbanis, the Karban Meshchaydish, Dorash Dorash Moshe, the Hinei Seraf. Moshe Rabbeinu found that it had been burnt. And with that, Moshe Rabbeinu was very upset. And the Pasuk tells us, Ayitzkai, Alas of Yisthamar, B'nei Aaron and Yisarim. The Moshe Rabbeinu became angry. And when he saw that it was burnt, he expressed his anger towards Elazar and Yisthamar, the children of Aaron. And Rashi tells us that this was Bishel Kvaydeh Shel Aaron, Hapach Panav Kineged Panav, because really Moshe Rabbeinu shouldn't have been angry at Elazar and Yisthamar. They did nothing wrong. They followed the p'tak of their father. Aaron HaKayin, one of the Gedalei Hador. They weren't wrong. Aaron was the one who was wrong in Moshe Rabbeinu's eyes. But because of the covenant of Moshe, rather, because of the covenant of Aaron, Moshe Rabbeinu instead expressed his anger towards Elazar and Yisthamar. The question is this really Moshe? Is this really appropriate? Is it really proper? The Bnei Aaron didn't do anything wrong. How could it be? It's not a covenant for Aaron. But isn't it a design, a start of being Adam Lechaveire, to express by Yitzchak Moshe and anger at Elazar and Yisthamar, Bnei Aaron? They were guiltless. They followed the pshat of Aaron. This seems to be a gevaldik kash. The answer, let me tell you, a muster. But the muster is in the way of an incident. It was a bacher, a yeshiva bacher in elementary school, who asked this Rebbe a question. And this Rebbe said, it's a good question. Write a letter to Rav Chaim Kanievsky. Let's get an answer. And he did. What was the question? They were learning Parshas Vayeshev, and they learned how the other Shvatim had a hatred towards Yosef. And the Rebbe thought that Yaakov had made a special garment, a special baguette, and he had given it to Yosef. And the brothers had a hatred to Yosef. And this boy asked the question. He said, why did the boys hate Yosef? Why did the Shvatim hate Yosef? Yosef merely accepted the Kesinus pass, the special baguette. The hatred should have been to Yaakov Avinu. After all, it was Yaakov Avinu who chose to give the Kesinus pass to Yosef and not the other brothers. Yosef did nothing wrong. He just accepted the baguette. Sounds like a good kasha. And he wrote a letter to Reb Chaim Kanievsky. Reb Chaim wrote back. Reb Chaim said that this is a question only for our generation. In previous generations, it would have never dawned on anyone that a child or their children would have hatred for their father. And that idea, that it would never dawn on someone to question a father, to have a hatred for a father, to have a sinner for a father, is what made it unthinkable. And the shortened sinner, their hurt, came out towards the ice. That idea is an idea that we need to appreciate. It's true, Moshe Rabbeinu expressed his anger at Elazar and Yisthamar, not at Aaron HaKayin. Elazar and Yisthamar considered a covenant, an honor, that they should receive the blame for something that their father did wrong. We don't appreciate when they're magish, we don't appreciate the proper kibbut avaim, or we too would have understood this. The kasha sounds like a great kasha. It's a kasha for our generation. Will you find anyone who asks this kasha? Anyone from a previous generation? Look around and see. And this is the lesson of Vayichdoif al-Alazar al-Alizam. And finally, item number three for today is at the end of the parasha. The end of the parasha, as you know, is deals with the kosher and non-kosher creatures. And at the very end of the parasha, we deal with Sheretz Hasheretz Al-Aretz, the Shravim. Rashi, and Pasuk Mem Aleph, was the end of Rashi. Rashi says the following words. Ein Kori Sheretz El-Adover Namuch Katzer Kitzkar Raglai. It's not called a Sheretz, unless it's very low, with short feet. She'ein Le'nira El-Karechish Benad. Something you wouldn't see, except for its movement. You see it because it moves. Now this idea is clearer in Rashi in Erev and Daf of Chesam and Aleph. Here Rashi says, Losh to Sheretz, Dover Shehu Nod Ba'aretz, Beinoy Nira Ela Al Yedei Shirutzai V'Rihushai, that make light night. It's so small that you can't see it. You couldn't tell that it's a bug. Only through the fact that it moves. It's a Shirutzai V'Rihushai, it runs around, it moves. And that's why a person can see it. This Rashi would seem to be the makar for the pack of many of the Gedalim regarding the copepods and the water in New York City. You take a cup of water, you don't see any creatures. Very hard to see the copepods. Yet if you go to Prospect Park, you go over to the lake and you take out a cup of water, you'll see the very same copepods. Why? Because they're alive and they dart to and fro with constant movement. And therefore, they are visible. In our water, which has already been treated with chemicals at the water treatment plant, the copepods are dead and they don't move. Is that called Nirolainayin, where you can see it only because of its movement? It seems that that's what this Rashi is saying. Something can only see because it moves to and fro. Otherwise, you couldn't see it. In the Sefer Dover Tov, which often deals with a number of Dikduk Inanim, he explains that according to Rashi, the word Sheretz or Sheketz comes from the word shed, that rust, it moved, as is indicated by this Rashi. And he suggests that the word Sheketz too, Shekot, Kot is by Yakutsu with David A. Israel, is from the language of being disgusted, finding something as an abomination. And it seems that that's Rashi Shita, that Roth and Kot are the Shirish of the word Sheretz and Shek. This is really part of a Machlaikis Kloli, a general Machlaikis, Shita Divin Ezra, and the Radak in his Bichloel, are that every verb has a three-word Shirish. Every verb has to have a three-letter Shirish. Rashi holds that there are verbs that have two letters to Rashi. And as Rashi says in the upcoming Parsha, Perek Chav, and Vayikra Perek Chav, Pasuk Chav Nimel, and in numerous places. And Ibn Ezra holds not that way. Ibn Ezra says that it's not so, that it has to have a three-word Sheresh. And on the word Sheketz, is an Ibn Ezra that says it's a Lashon Matzaik. Rashi says the Lashon of Kot is a Lashon Matzaik, a Lashon of pressure. In other words, Rashi, who teaches Sheretz to be from the Sheresh of Roth, is probably Lishitasa. But as those who hold of a different calculation for the Sherashim, we're not sure if they would agree that this is the Sheresh of the word Sheretz. At any rate, these are three thoughts for this week's parasha. Hope everyone has a wonderful Shabbos, and I hope you're conscious of the fact that we're counting Sphira, we're counting already 9 days into Sphira, only 40 days from Temple of Satire. We're counting down for a reason, so that we're margish, we feel the appreciation of the fact that Kabbalah Satira is on the horizon. We should be doing things just a little better in the coming days. And be well, a good Shabbos to one and all.